The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Remember how giddy I was yesterday?
Yes.
Remember how happy I was?
Yes.
Yeah, that lasted one day.
I was hoping that you would end on a high note. It's Friday, after all.
There are some stories today. Something that is happening to a Seattle police officer right now is mind-blowing to me. Absolutely mind-blowing. And then the fact that all of the enablers of the accused child rapist mayor are still working for city government, drawing their six-figure salaries, some of them sitting on the city council. And now Ed Murray's just the gift that keeps on giving with this Jeff Simpson lawsuit. And our mayor is one of the wishy-washiest people I've ever heard. So all of my hope and giddiness of yesterday has now been overwhelmed in a tidal wave of reality of the madness in which we continue to live.
No birds chirping today.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if we can turn it around. I'm still optimistic about the tide turning around here. But there is a story that our friends over at Channel 4, and they have it up at comonews.com, and you should watch the entire video because it really is an absolutely incredible story. Let's get right to our big lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
So it was Como News reporter Joel Moreno who had this story exclusively, as far as I could tell. That's why I want to make sure that I give them full credit. But I have to comment on this. A guy goes into the REI downtown, grabs a pickaxe that's for sale, holds it over his head to threaten the employees, and then leaves the store with the pickaxe. And Seattle police officers start to follow him in the middle of the afternoon, hoping that he's not going to drive the pickaxe into some innocent person's head. And here's the story as Joel Moreno told it, and again, posted at comonews.com.
This started as a robbery call right here at REI. It ended with an officer doing a bear hug type tackle of the man with the axe. Now, it's that tackle that's now being investigated as a failure to de-escalate.
Okay, they have all the body cam video. You see what a threat this guy with the pickaxe is. And you heard Joel Moreno correctly there. The officer is now being investigated, and there's a recommended suspension. Listen to how this went down.
The Seattle police footage begins inside REI, where a man had just stolen an ice axe and held it up to threaten store security, who tried to stop him.
Dude.
Police tracked him outside the store, calling for backup.
So he's been swinging, he's looking back at me, and he's holding it up like this, like he's going to swing it at me.
But the man...
And you see this on the officer's body cam footage, that they're probably about 50 feet away from this guy, and every once in a while, he will turn around, look at the cops, and raise the axe up over his head like he's going to attack the cops with it. How do these stories often end? With the cops having to shoot the guy, and then there's all this outrage. Why didn't they do something less lethal? Listen to what happened here.
But the man refused to stop or follow commands.
Drop it now!
It's on the ground!
Man, it's okay. Just drop the ice axe.
The president of the police union says officers had limited choices.
At some point, if we don't act, someone's going to get hurt.
Okay, and I'm going to talk to the president of the police guild, Kevin Stuckey, at 12:30 this afternoon. So in about 22, 23 minutes, 12:30, 2 or 3. Because what's happening to this cop is unbelievable.
Officers followed the suspect for blocks and at the same time tried to clear the streets.
Folks, step away, please. Step away.
So they're yelling at pedestrians, get away from the guy with the axe. So the cops are trying to keep the people of downtown Seattle safe.
Get out of the way!
It's at that point that Officer Nick Guzley joined the effort. The suspect made his way into a narrow corridor, and police tried to press in, but the man held the axe over his head.
Still threatening the cops with the axe. And Nick Guzley, Seattle police officer, then does something that is absolutely heroic.
Moments later, Officer Guzley came up on the right-hand side and made the tackle.
Get on the ground! Drop it!
The guy with the axe took his eye off the cop for just a moment. The cop took that opportunity, ran in, wraps the pickaxe guy in a bear hug, takes him to the ground. Now, the guy's obviously having some mental episode. He certainly would have been capable of plunging that axe into someone's head if the cops hadn't been able to stop him. The cop put his own life in danger. Bear hugs him, takes him to the ground. The guy with the pickaxe was uninjured.
Drop the axe!
I thought that it was a commendable act. The alternative is to continue to let him walk until he walked into somebody that he's clearly having a mental break and he hits him in the head. And then what? Then the question would be is, why didn't you act sooner?
Well, the man with the axe, he was convicted of robbery. He's in prison tonight. The police officer, he remains on patrol, but he is awaiting a potential discipline trial.
What? The cop is awaiting a potential discipline trial.
Molly?
Thanks, Joel. One of the officer's own supervisors filed the complaint with Seattle's Office of Police Accountability. Again, the officer is being investigated for failure to de-escalate.
What in God's name is happening here?
So what alternative do they would they rather have? I mean, so
Ursula, I cannot imagine. And it's this officer's supervisor who filed the complaint for a failure to de-escalate. And I don't believe the guy with the pickaxe was a person of color, because I know that he doesn't appear to be. In the video, I'll ask the Police Guild guy when he comes on with us right after your bottom of the hour news. So I don't think race is an issue in this story. But they didn't shoot him. They didn't tase him. He bear hugged him and took him to the ground. And the recommendation from this cop's supervisor is a 2-day suspension without pay.
Wow. I don't even know. I mean, someone needs to explain to us, okay, so what de-escalation technique should have been used in this case?
I don't know what's more than bear hugging and taking a guy to the ground.
Maybe more verbal commands, but in the meantime, he's got a pickaxe.
He's got a pickaxe and he's nuts. And I'm telling you, I so love and respect and appreciate the men and women who serve in our police departments, but I cannot imagine who would want to do that job these days. You shoot somebody and an inquest jury clears you and the community riots about you. You bear hug somebody and your supervisors go after you.
I mean, we're hearing over and over again from many cops who say, I mean, they feel like their hands are tied.
Yes.
You know, in trying to deal with, you know, what they're dealing with out on the streets. And this would potentially be one of those cases.
Officer Nick Guzley looks like an absolute hero to me. Nobody got hurt. And a madman with a pickaxe situation was defused. Nobody injured. And his supervisor, the officer's supervisor, says that he wants a 2-day suspension without pay for the cop because of a failure to de-escalate. This is an outrageous story. We have put a call in to the Seattle Police, but we will talk to the Seattle Police Officers Guild right after the bottom of the hour about this incredible story. And again, I want to give credit to Channel 4. And if you want to see the video they have on this, the body cam video and the takedown, it's up on their website at comonews.com. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
And I tell you, the accused child rapist is the gift that keeps on giving to the city of Seattle, as accused child rapist former Mayor Ed Murray is now the reason for a lawsuit against the city of Seattle. Jeff Simpson is one of Ed Murray's alleged victims. He is one of 5 men who has accused Ed Murray of child rape. And back in February, Simpson filed a claim against the city, which is the prelude to a lawsuit. And today, Jeff Simpson has filed a lawsuit against the city. The claim initially was for $1 million. We don't know what he's asking for in this lawsuit, and I do have a call in to the attorney for Jeff Simpson as well. But according to the claim, and I don't know how the city defends this. According to the claim, the city publicly sided with Ed Murray and sat back and watched as Mr. Murray and his lawyer and his spokesperson defamed, disparaged, and slandered the alleged victims. And not only that, but despicable current city council members like Sally Bagshaw were working and emailing, and the Seattle Times got all the email and text messages through a public disclosure request. And they saw that despite an overwhelming amount of evidence against Ed Murray that he was a child rapist, Sally Bagshaw is still working the city council. Hey, let's get votes. Can we keep Ed Murray in the job? Can we keep the accused child rapist as mayor of Seattle? And then people who worked for Murray, who now work for Jenny Durkin's administration, making six figures, they were working to try to keep the accused child rapist in the mayor's office. And they were standing up and saying that, you can't trust guys like Jeff Simpson. Look at his background. He's got a criminal history. The sleazebag Murray, he says, yeah, you can't trust any of the accusers. They have a criminal background. And then weeks later, he signs a law that says, oh, by the way, if you are a landlord and own an apartment building, you cannot consider criminal background of prospective tenants. So Ed Murray says, don't believe them. They got a criminal background. They can't be trusted. And then he tells landlords, hey, you got to rent to people with a criminal background. It's meaningless. But that's the thinking of an accused child rapist, apparently. Jeff Simpson talked a while back with our friends at Cairo 7 News, and I thought he was very compelling when Murray was still in the mayor's office.
I'm not playing it anymore. I'm not. I deserve, and we deserve, the truth. He took a life from me that I will never have back.
And here is Jeff Simpson's attorney, Cheryl Snow.
He went to where he could cause the most harm to these victims. And his motivation was clear. It's sex predator 101. Get the victim to shut up. Get the victim to go away.
And, well, Ed Murray and the city of Seattle supporting him. Members of the city council supporting him. Jenny Durkin welcomed Ed Murray's support when she was running for mayor. I told you this the day she stood up with the accused child rapist. That throws real questions about the character of Jenny Durkin. And look, I'll say things more bluntly and honestly than anybody else in the media. Jenny Durkin thought that she needed the support of Seattle's gay community to be elected mayor. She was afraid that if she rejected Ed Murray's endorsement, she would lose the gay community vote. So she stood with Ed Murray and thanked him and welcomed his endorsement. Because being mayor was more important. She's a former federal prosecutor. She saw the overwhelming mountain of evidence that led many of us to the conclusion that Ed Murray was a child rapist. But she didn't care. Being mayor was more important than doing the right thing for Jenny Durkin. And that was the first. And I told you that the day that she accepted his endorsement. That was the first of what has become an endless string of reasons why Jenny Durkin does not look equipped to run this city. And a lot of those came down again yesterday with her failure to answer anything about the city imploding over this whole head tax. But I thought that Jeff Simpson, as I said, very credible guy.
The rape and abuse by him has devastated my life.
Meanwhile, Ed Murray continues to collect a six-figure pension for the rest of his life as an accused child rapist. Next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead update.
And yesterday I said the tide is turning, that the normal people, meaning you, because the only normal people in this entire Puget Sound region listen to my show. Everybody else is a whack job. But you're okay. You're cool. You're smart. And I'm seeing that the normal people are starting to take back the region from the loons who are running it, from, you know, the child predator enablers in the city council, on Jenny Durkin's staff currently, all making six figures, from the lying con artists like Mike O'Brien and Rob Johnson and Kashama Sawant on the city council, from the child rape enablers like Sally Bagshaw on the city council. But Jenny Durkin, during this whole debate yesterday, and I figured out the name for Jenny Durkin. And let's go back to famous NFL color commentator John Madden on a Thanksgiving years ago.
This is a turducken right here where we got, you know what a turducken is? A turducken, this thing here, is a deboned duck stuffed in a deboned chicken stuffed in a deboned turkey. With stuffing, now you're talking.
So no bones, no spine, and it's a turducken. And what I'm seeing from the mayor is no spine. So she's going to be ducking Durkin from now on. And so in the grand tradition of John Madden,
turducken,
ducking Durkin. So let's talk about ducking Durkin yesterday, because they tried to ask her when Amazon says we might pull out of town 8,000 jobs. We're going to suspend construction. We had that incredibly heart-lifting moment yesterday when the lying con artist Sawant tried to talk, and the construction workers were, oh, man, they were beautiful yesterday.
Appreciate you all coming here for this important discussion.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
And every time she tried to talk.
To my brothers in the labor movement, as you know, I'm also a rank and file member of the labor movement.
No head tax! 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 No head tax!
I like that she tried calling them my brothers in the labor movement, because they threw her out of the family yesterday.
Brothers, when we can disagree, and we will have disagreements in the labor movement, but if we fight against each other, the bosses win.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Anyway, it was a beautiful moment. So the construction workers, they get it. They're blue-collar, hard-working, middle-class people. They know what ideologue radicals like Sawant will get us into. So Duckin' Durkin, though, they tried asking her yesterday. So what's your position on this head tax? Are you for it, yes or no?
And you have not made a stand on anything on the head tax. So it's a real direct question. Are you in favor of
this? Is Channel 4's Mark Markovich who's asking her.
Of it or against it as it stands now?
I it's a direct question with a long answer. I sent a 4-page letter that I think you've seen.
But this is a yes or no. It's a kind of a yes or no answer right now, isn't
it's
it?
Not a yes or no. We have a variety of issues that we have concerns with.
Duckin' Durkin. How are you either not for or against the head tax? How can you not have an opinion?
Fundamentally, are you for a tax on large businesses in Seattle?
I think I've answered the question. It's not a yes or no question.
Duckin' Durkin! That's what she will be forevermore, because she just can't give a straight answer to anything. Right, Coach Madden?
Turducken.
No, Duckin' Durkin! Get it straight. And that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I'm going to talk to the Seattle Police Guild about this unbelievable story of a Seattle cop who tackled a guy with a pickaxe threatening people, no injuries, and the cop's supervisor is recommending a 2-day suspension without pay. I'm going to talk to the Police Guild and see if they can help me make any sense of this story coming up next. Well, as you heard in the Big Lead, there is just an absolutely staggering thing going on right now with our Seattle police. Because and I played you the exclusive story that our friends at Channel 4, they have it up at comonews.com. They had the story about a man who went into the REI store, stole a pickaxe, held it over his head, threatened employees with it, and then goes out on the street where first one and then joined by another, two Seattle cops started following the guy. They're calling out to other pedestrians saying, get clear, get clear. The guy would occasionally turn, and we see all this on the officer's body cam. He would occasionally turn and hold the pickaxe over his head in a threatening manner at the cops. And then finally, in a moment of, to me, just absolute bravery, one of the police officers, Nick Guzley, he went and put the guy in a bear hug.
So he's been swinging. He's looking back at me, and he's holding it up like this, like he's going to swing it at me. Drop it now.
It's on the ground.
Man, it's okay. Just drop the ice axe.
Get on the ground. Drop it. Drop the axe.
And the unbelievable part of the story is the officer who tackled this guy and, in my mind, potentially saved lives of innocent people, he is now the subject of an internal investigation by Seattle police. And the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild joins me here on Cairo Radio. And I'm telling you, it's Kevin Stuckey. I forgot to say your name, Kevin. Because I'm so worked up about this story, Kevin. So walk me through this from your perspective as a guild member.
Well, the incident itself, if you look at it, and I don't know if your listeners have access to all the video, but it wasn't just an immediate thing. This was a group of officers who actually followed this gentleman for a period of time. Looked to me like several blocks. Trying to reach out to him, trying to appeal to him to drop the axe. Clearly, that gentleman was in some kind of mental health crisis.
Sure.
Because a reasonable person with that many police officers with tasers out yelling for him to drop the axe, someone would drop the axe. So that didn't happen. Then you see, as they begin to walk down, they pass another patrol car that happens to be Officer Nick Guzley. He's coming up alongside. They're still trying to communicate, trying to reach out to the gentleman. What we don't see is that they're getting ready to go into an area that's actually populated where people are having their lunch. So we're getting close to where we have to make a decision here because
sure.
we don't want him to interact with someone with that axe in his hand, and then we have someone being injured. Officer Guzley, at that point in time, saw that the man wasn't really paying attention to where he was coming from, came up alongside, wrapped him in a bear hug, and took him to the ground. The man was not tased. He was not, there was no use of force used. No one had to use a weapon. He was taken to the ground, put in custody, and actually got, in my impression, because he needed some service. He needed to have someone see him, and he was able to get those services because he was put in custody. So you would think, all right, job well done. As a matter of fact, Officer Guzley received Officer of the Month from the Seattle Police Officers Guild for acting like that, having the foresight to see, okay, yeah, here's an opportunity I can to actually get this person into custody without actually using any serious force that would result in anyone having an injury.
Let me jump in here because, yeah, this is a case where if that guy does interact with the people having lunch downtown, the cops might have to shoot him to save innocent lives. And the guy with the pickaxe, he was not injured as Officer Guzley took him to the ground at all, was he?
That is correct. He was not injured.
Okay, so as I understand it, according to the Como News story, one of Officer Guzley's own supervisors filed a complaint against him with the Office of Police Accountability, and the investigation is for failure to de-escalate. How do you de-escalate more than just putting a guy in a bear hug and stopping a guy in a mental episode with a pickaxe?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I think that what we don't do as a profession is really explain some of our terms and the things that we do. So let me just tell you, de-escalation is getting space, time, distance to come up with a better solution. That's de-escalation in a nutshell. However, if there is situations, and this was one, where you don't have that time, well, then it is not proper to try to de-escalate. This was a situation where we were going into having someone enter into an area where there were innocent people.
Right.
The last thing we want to do is put someone in jeopardy, second-guessing. I thought, I don't think you could have done anything differently. You had an opportunity, Officer Guzley had an opportunity to stop the situation from going any further without anyone being injured. That's what you do.
I just, and so the recommendation from the supervisor is that the officer receives a 2-day suspension without pay. Is that true?
That is correct. That is correct.
I mean,
that is from the director of the Office of Professional Accountability. When they get once the case is completed, and then the detective sergeant presents it, and then Director Meyerberg makes a decision, and his proposed discipline was 2-day suspension.
I mean, you talk about a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of job to be a cop these days, where you know, anytime there's a even justified shooting, of course, there's community outrage that they should have done less. And here's a cop. All he did was bear hug a madman with a pickaxe. And now he's facing a suspension. I don't know how anybody can even go into this profession anymore. And we need great men and women serving in our police forces. I cannot believe what's going on here, Kevin.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because in actuality, we are within a crisis. We can't find people to want to do the job anymore. It's very real that in a few years, we won't have anybody to replenish the people who retire because of these types of incidents. Because you're right. If I do everything the way I'm taught to do it, you know, just like you said, this wasn't a shooting.
Right. It was a
bear hug to where no one was injured. And still, they was like, no, that wasn't right. I don't know what else he could have done. And when you see that, and that's on the news, and people see it, if you got a 21 to 24-year-old kid, and they come to you and they say, hey, I want to get into law enforcement, would you tell them, yeah, that's a job you should take?
Absolutely.
I mean, look out.
No, absolutely not. And that's shameful, and it's scary for the future of society, because we've got a political process, and this is all about politics. We have a political process. And I don't even know if this is relevant. I couldn't tell. Was the perp, the guy with the pickaxe, was he a person of color?
Actually, I do not believe that he was.
It didn't look like it to me in the video, but, you know, the body cam video. I mean, so can you, and we only got a minute here, but can you possibly take me inside the supervisor's head who filed the complaint against the officer?
Well, I haven't spoken to that person about this particular incident. But I'm telling you something that I think, not what I know. But the only thing that I can come up with is that maybe they thought he didn't have a plan, that it was too sudden, and that if he had taken the time and told people, well, okay, this is what I'm going to do, then maybe that somehow could have prevented them from actually doing that. But absent of doing that, I don't see how. I personally don't see any misconduct at all. But I'm just trying to guess. And what they saw is that, you know, he didn't have a plan, and he didn't, like, notify everybody that, hey, this is what I'm going to do.
Wow. Well,
but again, it's ridiculous to me to think that I'm supposed to, as a police officer, use the minimum amount of force to necessitate an arrest. That's exactly what happened.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is just crazy to me what is happening to this officer. Well, man, I love the officers that we have who are serving. I spoke to a Seattle police group just a few weeks ago. I love the people who serve. I can't believe what's going on, not just with some command, but politics way above SPD that is making their lives hell right now. It's unbelievable to me.
I couldn't agree more, but this is something that we face. But just like Officer Leslie and the rest of the men and women who wear the uniform, we're going to continue to be professional. We're going to continue to do our jobs the best way we know how. We're going to continue to serve the city, even though we are serving under these conditions.
Yep. Well, I will say, God bless Officer Nick Guzley and all his brothers and sisters who serve. And I'm sorry this is happening. Kevin Stuckey is the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. Kevin, as always, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you, sir. It's my pleasure.
And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Text me at 989-973, or you can email me. Go to mynorthwest.com, the Dory Monson Show page. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. One thing that has become really clear to me, and as I've said, you are about the only normal people left in this region, the listeners to my show. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Everybody else is a loon except for you and me. But we have to speak with a very clear voice about what's going to happen going forward. Because yesterday when Duck and Durkin and Dow Constantine, they said they're going to work as a region on this problem. And the plan they're working on is to put these heroin death dens in Seattle and King County. And I'm going to keep using real language on this show because I am so sick and tired of the politicians' manipulated, lying language. Safe injection site. Yes. I hope all the politicians' kids that they tell their children, hey, as long as government is supervising you, you can safely inject heroin, kids. Safe injection site. Don't listen to their lies. The safe RV lots where people are dying left and right. A week ago, I was mentioning, would any of these politicians let their children walk unsupervised through a safe lot? Why not? It's safe. Sick of their lying language. So the heroin death dens are what they want to put in. Durkin and Dow Constantine. And what is clear, a couple things. Number one, San Francisco is finally cracking down on the homeless and the tents and the tarps and the boxes everywhere. The mayor of San Francisco, Mark Farrell.
So together, this is an ambitious effort. And I know I only have a few months left as the great mayor of this great city of San Francisco, but I plan on sprinting to the finish.
What they're going to do is not allow vagrancy. They're going to kick people off the sidewalks and say San Francisco is no longer going to be I said yesterday, I love San Francisco. And when I would go there in years past, my wife and I went there for one of our anniversaries, and it was sourdough bread and creosote when you walked on the waterfront. Last time we went there, I took one of my daughters there for a college visit of Bay Area schools. It was urine and feces, the entire city. And so even San Francisco has said we've had enough, something Seattle still has not said.
The mayor's proposal will fund 5 new pit stops and expand the hours for the portable public restrooms, a place for people to relieve themselves rather than on the street. The city will also hire an additional 44 neighborhood cleaners. That's an additional 4 per district who will target problem areas.
But the other thing is they're not going to let people put tents on the sidewalk, something Seattle allows. And there are people, visitors to our town. And by the way, when every other city says no, all the heroin addicts from around the country are going to come up to Seattle. Channel 4 talked to Lily Cox, who's living in one of those wet housing developments.
When I was homeless in Phoenix, I was literally on the street, eating out of garbage cans and everything.
Okay, I'm sorry for the plight of that woman's life. But why should you and I be taxed $200 million a year, which is what it is in Seattle and King County for homelessness, so that people who are living out of a dumpster in Phoenix a few months ago can come up here, we put a roof over their head, and if she is an addict, many of her neighbors are, they tell them, use heroin, use meth in these taxpayer-funded homes. It's got to stop. Fast 15 next.